Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 is where we've been at for the last several weeks, and we're going to land the plane today, all right? We're going to cover the last name that Isaiah prophesies that Jesus will be called. We find this scripture in Isaiah 9, verse 6. And again, as we look at these names, we've been talking about the different ones and the different aspects. And I've had so much positive feedback about these messages, especially last week. I had some people tell me, oh my goodness, I was so moved emotionally. And that's not necessarily the goal, but they were just saying they were so moved by the service, by being in the service. So if you weren't here last week or any of the other weeks, I would encourage you to go back, watch them, listen to them, and let the Lord speak to you through those as well. Here he is, Isaiah, hundreds of years before Jesus, says this: "Now to us, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given." Now it sounds like he's here. But Isaiah is seeing this hundreds of years before it happens. It's amazing. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. We're looking at this last name of Jesus that he'll be known as. I was searching this week, and I found some unfortunate name combinations of actual people that have existed. Okay, for example, one person named their daughter Eileen Wright. Okay, that was her last name. And that was kind of unfortunate because that could, you know, depending on the situation, could start a conversation off on the wrong foot. There was another one, though. I think this one's awesome. Lois Price. Lois Price, okay? Oh, that just makes you feel close to God, doesn't it, some of us? Lois Price, I love that. All right, and here's the next one that was unfortunate. One lady named Helen, and she got attracted to and married a guy with the last name Back, okay? And the guy said after 10 years of marriage, it's absolutely true, okay? How many know we live in an anxious time? We live in an anxious time. Two of the most prescribed medications in America are acids and antidepressants. And then on top of that, to kind of stir the pot, the media is constantly dripping a message of fear and division. Fear and division. Fear and division. Have you noticed that? And in the midst of that, though, God has a message of love and unity. Amen. Love and unity. Love and unity. And that's exactly what this church is about. It's exactly what God is about. And in Isaiah, he says there's going to come one that's going to bring peace. He's going to be known as the Prince of Peace. But he's not done talking about this peace. As a matter of fact, that's Isaiah 9. In Isaiah 26, a few chapters over, here's what else Isaiah has to say about this. In verse 1, "In that day, everyone in the land of Judah will sing this song." Now, here's what's interesting. Because the context that Isaiah is saying this in is not a peaceful situation. Israel is a nation that is concerned about its future. It's concerned about enemy invasion. It's concerned that many of us will wind up living in countries in hostile countries that will be scattered across the world. And in the midst of this, Isaiah says, here, let's focus on this. In that day, everyone in the land of Judah will sing the song, our city is strong. We are surrounded by the walls of God's salvation. Now, again, that's not what they're seeing at this point. Open the gates to all who are righteous. Allow the faithful to enter. Notice verse 3. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Verse 4, trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. I love that promise, don't you? You will keep in perfect peace. How many, you're more familiar with an imperfect peace, right? Like maybe it goes like this. Lord, oh, I am trusting you. I am believing you. I know you got this and all. Lord, where are you anyway? You know, aren't you concerned about that? Did you not see how it just turned the wrong direction? Huh? And so a lot of times we have this imperfect peace, but that's not what he promises. He promises a perfect peace. How in 2025 can you have perfect peace? And what is perfect peace? Anyway, what's he really talking about? Well, the word peace in the original language of this writing, Hebrew, is the word shalom. And the word shalom means wholeness, completeness, fullness of peace. You know, and Jewish people a lot of times will use this as a greeting. Maybe you've heard it, shalom. And so we use a different type of greeting, most of us, is like, have a nice day, right? And we'll say to somebody, have a nice day. Well, when they say shalom, what they are saying is, may you be enveloped by peace. May your inside, outside, every side be consumed and filled with the completeness of peace in your life, in your coming, in your going, may you be at peace with God and with others. How many think that's better than have a nice day, right? And so that's the word that's being shared here. But again, in the original text, it doesn't read like the English version reads. We translate it perfect peace. But in the original language, it says shalom, shalom. Peace, peace. And in the original language, and in many ancient languages that did not have exclamation marks and things like that, when they wanted and felt impressed to emphasize something, they would repeat it. And so it says, shalom, shalom. In other words, not just peace once, but peace twice. That you really get this peace, that you get a double portion of peace upon you. Now, it doesn't mean that if you get this double portion of peace, you won't have trouble. You won't have difficulties. You won't have problems. That nothing will break at your house. That your kids will never fight. And you and your spouse will get along every single day. And they will never be on your nerves. Or even your last nerve, all right? Because here's what peace is. Peace isn't found in the absence of problems. True peace is found in the presence of God. It's God's presence in our life, even in the midst of the problems, that you can have peace. I mean peace even if your marriage sucks at this point, if your kids are on drugs, if you found porn in your home, if you've been betrayed by close friends, if your body is racked with pain, if you have been sick and ill, if you have bills and you don't know how to pay for them. Even in the midst of all of that, he says, shalom, shalom. Perfect peace. That's how the English-speaking people, they said, we don't know how to translate this. So that's like a complete peace, 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 shalom, shalom. So we'll just call it perfect peace in a person's life. So how do we have this? How do we get this? Notice that in Isaiah 26, verse 3, he says that we have to adapt this into our lives. We have to have a peace that rules over us. And I think it's interesting, the language. I don't think it's always accidental when you read something and something pops out. And what popped out to me this week was that he chose to say Prince of Peace. Now look at this. In the other words, he says Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and then he says, Prince of Peace. In other words, a prince rules, right? And what he's saying is this peace wants to rule over. Now, that doesn't mean everything is good. Doesn't mean everything's perfect. But peace is ruling over you. Does that sound good? It's ruling over you. It's this peace that transcends understanding. Isaiah 26:3, he's talking about how that we got to have this peace, first of all, that rules in our minds. All right? If you're going to have a peace that rules, it begins in the mind. So much goes on in our minds, doesn't it? Does anybody have a war in your mind? You know, you ever sit down to pray and you, oh, God, for the next 30 minutes, I just want to seek your face. I just want to, oh, I want to pray. I want to call on your name. And oh, I wonder if we need some more bread. Oh, maybe I should get to the store or something. Anybody have that? Am I the only person that gets like that? And there's this battle that goes on in your mind. And so you trust God and you're believing. How many know it's sometimes easier to trust God for somebody else and for yourself? Because you have to deal with your own negative thoughts that come in. Isaiah 26:3 in the New Living Translation, here's what it reads. You will keep in perfect peace all whose thoughts are fixed on you. They're fixed on you. In the New International Version, it says you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast. Notice that Isaiah doesn't say you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are fixed on CNN or Fox News or fixed on the future and what might happen or fixed on financial problems or fixed on bad news that maybe you got from the doctor recently. It's not what he says. And this idea of being fixed, let's look at that. The Hebrew word for fixed is samach, and what it means is to lean on completely, to fully rest oneself on the Lord. You fully rest on him. So in other words, it's saying you will keep in perfect peace those who are leaning on you, who are not trusting themselves. You will keep in perfect peace whose thoughts are resting on God's unfailing promises. So let me ask you today, what's your mind fixed on? What's your mind fixed on? Is it fixed on CNN or Fox News, or your phone, or what? Or the cute girl in the gym? You know, is it fixed on something around you? What consumes your mind? What do you allow your mind to drift over to? What do you focus on? Again, is it financial worries and you're just all caught up in that? Or maybe political division, or the latest you saw on TikTok as you were scrolling through, and what's going on or what's going wrong, or even what could go wrong? It might not happen, but it could. So maybe I need to worry about that today, right? And dread and social media feeds and things like that in our lives. There's so much that we can get fixed on. And Paul comes along hundreds of years later, and I think he picked up on what Isaiah was throwing down here. I think he picked it up and knew what Isaiah had prophesied about. And when he's writing to a church, just like this church, the Apostle Paul wrote to them about their minds. And here's what he wrote in Philippians chapter 4. It's the church in Philippi was where it was located. And Paul writes this letter to them, and here's what he says in verse 8. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Boy, there's a good screen for your thought life, right? Just run thoughts that you get through that and say, does this fit that? Does what I'm thinking about right now, does that fit that? Because notice what happens in verse 9 to those who think on these things, then the God of peace will be with you. It's just like Isaiah said hundreds of years before. You know, you will keep in perfect peace, shalom, shalom, those whose minds are fixed on you. And Paul says to this church, he says, you got to fix your thoughts. And if you're not thinking these things, you need to shift your thinking, because if you will shift it over to these things, guess what? You'll have peace in your mind, in your heart, in your life. Doesn't that sound good? I mean, if you start thinking, you know, all these things are happening around me, but then instead of thinking about that, you say, oh no, my God is good. His promises are true. His word never fails. He never leaves me. He never forsakes me. When I'm lost, he's my guide. When I'm weak, he's my strength. When I'm hurting, he's my comforter. Nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And that's what you have to confess. Somebody needs to change channels today. Quit focusing on things that don't lead to peace. Because if you'll focus on these things, here's what Paul says, you'll get a peace that the world can't understand. The world can't give it to you, and the world can't take it away from you. We just had a funeral yesterday, and a bunch of people wanted to speak, and every one of them wanted to speak about everything that she had gone through, but you couldn't tell it. They said, you know, according to her, the Lord's got me. The Lord's got me. The Lord's got me. But you're going to have this operation this week that the Lord's got me. Oh, you're going to have this situation. Oh, the Lord's got me. And that was her comeback to everything. And it's exactly what Jesus was trying to communicate to his disciples on the night before he was going to be betrayed, and they were going to see him crucified, and all these horrible things happen. Jesus calls his followers together in John 14 and verse 27, and here's what he says to them. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Notice what Jesus says. I'm giving you something and it's not from the world. It's not like what you see around you. It can even give you a peace when you're hanging on a cross. That's what he was saying to them, because it was about to happen. In other words, he's promising them not a peace, but my peace is going to come into your life. Again, it's not a peace that means that there's an absence of problems. It just means the presence of God is in your life. And see, the disciples had experienced this firsthand. Because if you know the story of the disciples, one time they were in a boat and a storm came up and they were convinced, we're going to die tonight, right now. That's what they were. And so they were like, John, hey, it's been good to know you. Yeah, you too, Peter, because we're about to go down. This is it. And then here's what the story says. They looked, and Jesus is asleep in the boat. So here's what they do. They wake him up, and they say, do you not care that we are all going to die right now? And Jesus didn't say, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I slept through that. Is that what he does? No. He's not disturbed. He's not shaken. You know what he does? He gets up and he gets to the front of the boat and he says, peace. That's what he says. Peace, be still. And they said, whoa, even the wind and the waves obey him. And I want to say to somebody today, even if the wind has been blowing all around your house, even if the wind has been blowing all around your marriage, even if the wind has been blowing all around your kids and the waves are crashing and it's thunderous out there and the storm is intense, I want you to look around and find Jesus in your boat and realize if Jesus is in my boat, it's going to be okay. It is. It's going to be all right, because he said, you will keep in perfect peace whose mind is fixed on you. Oh, it isn't about the storm on the outside. It's about the Savior on the inside. Come on, somebody. So is your mind fixed? What is your mind fixed on? Listen, I'll let you in on a secret. Here's what helps me to keep my mind in a better place, all right? This works for me, and you know, I'm the pastor of this church, okay? And this works for me. I think it'll work for you. Is if I read God's Word every day. That helps. And it's a habit that I've tried to have and keep since I was a teenager and I first did it. And I'm just telling you, you need to do this. You need to take God's word in every day. How many of you eat more than one meal a week? Yeah, and the rest of you are liars, all right? So I know better. More than one meal a week. You wouldn't do that. Just eat one meal for the whole week? No. But spiritually, we'll do that. And when you think about it, 52 weeks and you're only going to eat at church, and then you're not here every week. Some of you, it doesn't take too many snowflakes. All right, I'll back off. All right. But it didn't take too much. I mean, sometimes the sun's shining so bright, who could go to church, you know? It's just sometimes we're sick, sometimes we're on vacation, sometimes. Okay, you start shrinking that. Now how many meals, spiritual meals in a year are you eating? That's not what I want for you. It's not what God wants for you. He wants you to eat spiritually every day. And so you need to take in God's word. And so since the beginning of this church, way back in the movie theater, we talked about a one-year Bible. That a one-year Bible, just read the Bible every day. Oh, you need to read the Bible every day. And Rochelle, even for her, the first Bible that she read through completely cover to cover was the one-year Bible. And I've had so many other people at Crossroads say, I did it too. And the one-year Bible makes it simple. So we've got a bunch of them out in the lobby, and we'll be having them here that you can purchase and get ready for the start of the year. And it just makes it simple and all. But you need to do it. You need to make it a priority. It takes about, you know how long it takes to read the Bible through in a year? About 15 minutes a day. Do you have 15 minutes for God every day to speak to you? If you open up the Bible, he opens up his mouth. And so when you allow him to speak to you and you let his word come into your, listen, then it starts getting into your mind, and then all the other crud and all the other stuff and all the other things. That's why on the first day of the week, you need to just say, you know what, I'm going to go to church and all, because the more you get God's word in you, the more it works in you. All right, Philippians 4:6. Here's what Paul said in the two verses before the verses we read earlier. Here's where he says, do not be anxious about anything. Is that a word for today? That was written a long time ago. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer. We're getting ready for the 21 days of prayer. We're going to start the year off 21 days. You ought to make that a priority. Lord, I'm going to seek your face the first of this year. I'm believing that 2026 is going to be the best year in my life. I believe I'm going to draw closer to you. I believe that you're going to work in my life like you've never worked before and work through me and move through me. And you give those 21 days to God and start the new year off. He says you got to, by prayer and petition, thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And check this out in verse 7. There it is again. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See, peace is not something I produce. It's something God provides. You don't build it up on your own in your life. It's not the peace the world gives. It's the peace that only God can give. And let me let you in on another secret, and then we're gonna pray. So you read the Bible every day. You let God speak to you. And here's another secret, okay? And I'm telling you, this one works for me. If I need more of God's presence in my life, I find I need to worship. I need to just stop everything and praise him. Because I'm just telling you, if the world's noisy around you, just start playing worship music in your car. Just start worshiping him. Just start blessing him. Just start, because the Lord inhabits the praise of his people. And it's the reason why you shouldn't be late to church, by the way. We don't worship because we need to get him here. We need to worship so we get here. So we get here mentally. So we get here spiritually. And we're ready for whatever God wants to speak into our lives today. Because this may be the day that God does something in my life like he's never done before. And I don't know about you, I don't want to miss it. And so I set the atmosphere. I set the expectancy by worshiping him, by blessing him. I'm telling you, if you would do this, if you'd change channels in your car, if you would worship on your way to work, you'd go in there and people say, what happened to you? You're so positive today. You're so happy today. Hello? I'm telling you, it works. If you'll do this, if you get God's word in your mind and you just begin to praise God no matter what's going on, because how many know the devil hates it when you praise? He can't stand it when you praise because it's going to bring the presence of God into your life. That's the reason why on Sunday morning the dog goes nuts, right? The cat's climbing the walls and the kids are all, they're throwing food. Now we got change again, you know? And the baby done pooped all up its back and everything. Come on, let's just get real today, right? The devil will cause anything. The tire looks low. Listen, devil. No, nothing's gonna stop me today from praising God. I don't care what you do. I will praise him in the morning, in the noontime, in the evening. You're not stopping me. Somebody might be here today. The devil tried to knock you out this morning, tried to keep you away. Oh, you got a headache. You better lay back down. No, I better get to church and begin to praise God and let the presence of God touch me today. So where do you need to apply this in your life? You need more peace. Maybe you need more of God's word in your mind. Maybe you need more of the presence of God in your life. You need to worship. Wherever it is, wherever it hits, listen, if you'll start doing that, I believe God will fill you with peace. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the peace that you give that transcends all understanding. God, just like so many people, you meet them and you find out all that they're going through and you can't believe it because they're so peaceful. And God, we know what it is. It's your presence. It's your presence. Maybe you're here today. And you'd say, Craig, the devil has been blowing at my house. There's been storms raging, the waves crashing. We've had a lot of stuff coming our direction, my direction. But I'm not going to let any wind, any waves change what my mind is set on. I believe Jesus is in my boat. I believe if I declare the word of God over my life, I believe that I can live in peace regardless of what's going on around me. Today, I submit everything to God all over again. Today, it doesn't matter what the devil tries to do. I'm going to keep my mind stayed on him. If that's your prayer, church, all over this room, just raise your hand right now. Maybe raise both hands and just say, yes, Lord, I worship you. Oh, I ask that you just fill me today. Fill my mind with your peace in a troubled world, in a world that's gone crazy. God, help us to be centered on you. Help us to be a testimony of your power at work in our lives. Maybe there's others here And maybe you know that you don't have that peace today, and the reason you don't have that peace is because God's not in your life. You haven't surrendered your life to God. You haven't initiated for Him to come in and bring His rule of peace as the Prince of Peace into your heart and into your life. And I'm telling you, He's just waiting on you today. And if you're here this morning and you say, oh, Craig, I need that kind of peace, the peace that the world can't give, the world can't take away. I need that kind of peace, and I realize I need to do something. I need to move toward God. If that's your desire and that's your prayer today, will you just raise a hand all over this room? If that's you and you need God in your life, yeah, just raise them up all over this room. And while you're doing that online, just type the word decided in the chat. We'll be praying for you as well. Come on, church family, let's pray this prayer so that nobody prays alone. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. I believe through His death, He paid for all my sin. And I believe today, as I confess Jesus to be my Lord and Savior, you will fill me with your peace. Thank you, Lord, for changing my life from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Church family, let's celebrate those who prayed that. Oh, come on. All of heaven rejoices over that. It's amazing. Listen, on this card that you filled out already, there are two steps that you can take if you raised your hand and prayed that prayer, and several of you did. You can say, I'm committing my life to Christ. If you feel like, hey, I don't think I've ever really done that before, you can just check that box. If you say, well, I think I did it before, but I walked away, today I walked back and came back into the presence of God, then you can say, I'm renewing my commitment to Christ. And then after service is over, you can take it, put it in the buckets if that's where it belongs, or if you're new among us and you've never been over the Welcome Center, then take it over there, and everything Josh said will happen over there. One more thing, there's a Next Steps room right across the hall. And especially if you'd like to be baptized next Sunday, everybody say 10 o'clock. Next Sunday, it's 10 o'clock. You people are the ones I'm worried about the most, okay? Because you come, this is the 11 o'clock crowd, okay? The other service, they may be here an hour early, all right? But don't you be an hour late, because you're going to miss too much, because it's going to be an amazing day. As we believe God for baptisms, it's going to be an incredible Sunday next Sunday. So 10 o'clock. But if you'd like to get baptized, if that's like your next step, then go talk to somebody today. They'd love to help you with that. Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to pray a prayer. I'm going to ask our prayer partners to come at this time. If you need prayer for any reason at all today, and you'd just like somebody to pray with you or pray for you, these folks would love to pray with you before you leave. Let me pray. Father, go with us out of this place today in the power of the Holy Spirit. Help us, God, to be a witness in this world of a peace that just is unexplainable, that can come into our hearts and into our minds through your presence. And God, we ask that you'll use us this week to reach somebody, especially this Christmas week. God, oh, use us, Lord, to draw people to you. Now, Holy Spirit, draw every person who needs prayer to receive the prayer they need before they leave today and do miracles at this altar, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.